The White House worries about federal employees' job satisfaction in its fiscal 2015 budget request. There's a whole section dedicated to workforce challenges. One idea is to track employee engagement with new metrics. Underlying the effort is a disturbing statistic that the government is expected to create just 14,000 new full-time positions, and far more employees are eligible to retire. Max Steyer is president and CEO of the Partnership for Public Service, and he joins us now to talk about the proposals. Hi, Max.
Hi, how are you doing?
Fine, thanks. Thanks for joining us. So in this section, it's Section 8 of the supplement to the fiscal 2015 budget, the White House lays out some demographic and other challenges, an aging workforce, budgetary constraints, things that seem hard to move. Do you think at least that it has nailed what the biggest challenges are to the workforce?
I think it has nailed some of them, and I think what is particularly important is that it's highlighted what I think is a fundamental challenge to our government and its ability to perform going forward. I don't think it's gotten everything right. As an example, I don't think that it captured the importance of engaging the top leadership, both in Congress and the executive branch, in addressing some of these issues.
Okay, so it doesn't talk about capturing leadership. It does talk about the problem of employee engagement. And you've done a lot of studies with this. You work with agencies on the best rankings and so forth. How does the administration propose that agencies approach the issue of employee engagement in a different way?
One of the more important aspects is that it's actually paying attention to the data. We now have very in-depth data that lets us know where things are going wrong, but also, equally important, where they're going right. And I think one of the tactics that the administration intends to pursue, which I think is really important, is to find those bright spots, to find out what is being done right in those agencies and see whether or not they can't get others to copy and to replicate. We have all too much in the government that's designed to find the things that are broken and failing, and all too little to find the things that are working. And I've never seen an organization get better if all you do is find things that are wrong with it.
The Office of Personnel Management conducts this Pulse of the Workforce survey, the Employee Viewpoint Survey, each year or almost every year. Is that the type of data that the White House says agencies should rely on? Because to my knowledge, they're already using that data.
They are using it. What I think is important is that they're looking at their ability to break the government down into much smaller components. So there's sort of two, at opposite ends of the spectrum, two approaches that are quite important, one of which is to be able to analyze the information in smaller and smaller work units and to connect that to actual outcomes that those organizations are trying to produce. And then equally important, it's to try to make sure that we're benchmarking across the government. And frankly, I think what also needs to be added with the benchmarking with the private sector. So again, that we can learn from what some agencies are doing real well. So you look like at an agency like NASA, which was not only number one in our ranking in 2012 and 2013, but what they recognize as being even more important is they were most improved between 2012 and 2013. That's the kind of organization that you want to learn from, and you want to be able to hold up as the model for other agencies across government.
So if the government is able to set up a dashboard like this, how do you imagine agencies would go about actually using it and making changes?
Well, I mean, again, this comes back to my first point about top leadership. I think that what I don't see here and what I would love to see is a commitment that truly the top leaders, the President of the United States, will hold his leadership accountable for investments in employee morale and engagement. And to my mind, the simple way of doing that is, you know, whether it's on a quarterly basis or some regular basis in cabinet meetings, that the president ask about how each one of the cabinet members is doing on some critical metrics like the employee viewpoint survey information. It's collected annually, but you could do pulse surveys. So there's all kinds of things that you might be able to do. But to me, the starting point on all this is that everyone has way more to do than they have time to do. They're going to pay attention to what the top leadership says is important and actually pay attention to those issues that are prioritized by the president, by the president's own time. He needs to be asking this question on a regular basis, and that will drive real change in the agencies. You see that happen in individual agencies. Ray LaHood was the Secretary of Transportation. He made it one of the core things he wanted to accomplish while he was Secretary, and they were the, you know, the most improved for 2 years at Department of Transportation because he cared about it. You get leadership paying attention to it. You have data, like the metrics we have right now, we'll see change.
And moving on, the president does, or the White House, whoever wrote the budget, does lay out some other specific examples, and they go to making federal employees happy as well as a structural issue in terms of the health of the federal workforce. One of the things that they talk about is reforming the pay scale. That's something that the Partnership for Public Service has also studied. How would that happen, and do you think it's realistic to upend or to reform something that's been in place for so long?
Yeah, well, it's desperately needed. You said it right. It's been in place for so long. There's no other organization that I'm aware of in this country that is operating under the same compensation and talent rules as it did 60 to 100 years ago, and that's what we have in the federal government. The system we have in the federal government was well-designed for the age that it was designed for, but times have changed. The nature of work has changed. The things that government does has changed. The nature of talent has changed. But the system that's supposed to manage all that hasn't. So I think that, you know, we've seen way too much of the wrong debate. Are federal employees paid too much or too little? The real issue should be focused, are we paying them in the right way? And I think the answer is no. So on April 2nd, actually, we'll be releasing a framework for a new civil service that will address compensation and hiring issues and much, much more. But I do think it's important that the administration address this. There's a lot that leadership can do. There's a lot that ought to be done focusing specifically on talent and culture. But there are also some system issues that are in desperate need for change.
And I guess it goes to the leadership point that you're making. This is something that at least leaders seem to be ready to move on with the direct call out in the budget this year. But how easy would it be to change something like this? It does require Congress, right?
Absolutely. It requires Congress, and it requires a conversation. The truth is that there are multiple stakeholders, employee unions, there are veterans groups, there are universities, there are all kinds of critical stakeholders out there that need to be at the table making sure that the choices that are made take into account all of those interests. So this is not going to be easy, but it really, really needs to be done, because if it isn't, we're not going to be able to compete globally. We're not going to be able to provide services to the public for the resources that we have in ways that they expect. And frankly, it's going to, if unchanged, it's going to continue to diminish the public's expectation about what it can reasonably get from its own government. And that's bad all the way around. So these are very hard issues. They require a lot of engagement and collaboration. It's not going to be easy to be changed. As you said, it requires both legislative and executive engagement as well. But it's really, really important to get it done.
We're speaking with Max Steyer, and he's president and CEO of the Partnership for Public Service. The budget also addresses the senior executive service and says that the SES needs to be enhanced or perhaps improved as well. This is also an issue that your organization has taken a look at. What is proposed by the White House, and is it something that you guys also agree with?
Yeah. So, again, there's no more important cohort for the health of our government than the SES. They're the top career people. They're the folks that are there. You know, come change of administration, they're still in place. And the truth is that just like everything else, the world has changed. The kinds of skills and approaches that those folks need to take also needs to adapt to this new world. One of the critical issues is ensuring that we have people in the SES that have enterprise-wide experience. So they've worked in multiple agencies or multiple sectors or multiple levels of government, because the problems that they need to confront require engagement by multiple actors. So that's one aspect that the administration is focused on. I think it's truly important. But just like we talked earlier about engagement of the political leaders, we also need to see engagement of the SES in these broader reforms. And you know, one way that the president could do that and hasn't to date is simply to meet with them as a group. You know, both President Bushes did this, brought them all together, talked about the agenda of the administration, why this cohort was so important to achieving that agenda. You know, we need to see not only investment in the SES, but a call to the SES to lead in these challenging times. And so far, this president hasn't done that.
And I want to ask you about another thing. When people are starting their federal career, and that's hiring. Right now, we know that there is a big emphasis on hiring veterans, also hiring disabled people in general. But the White House mentions that there should be more flexible approaches to hiring so that also critical skills gaps are filled. How is that possible?
Well, it is easily possible because, like much else in the federal government, the system that we have for hiring is grown up with all kinds of constraints over the years without anyone going back and taking a look at it in any comprehensive way and trying to figure out whether that system matches up to the values and goals that we have as an organization. And frankly, it doesn't. So, you know, you talk again about one of the few bright spots, which is the federal government has done a terrific job in hiring veterans. But there are also other things that the government has not done so well with. And an example of that would be to look at the lack, frankly, of millennials in the federal workforce. So you have somewhere in the neighborhood of 68% millennials when you have 23 to 30+% in the general workforce. We have a government that is not demographically diverse in this way and is losing out not only on its future but on its present. And that's something that needs to change. It has a lot to do with our current hiring process. It would be great if more talent was interested in getting into government, but the bigger problem is the government chases away a lot of talent by its ridiculously difficult hiring process and its failure to really understand, you know, what critical talent it actually needs. So there's a lot of room for improvement with respect to the hiring process. It has huge consequence, and we're at the partnership, all four, reimagining that effort too.